This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and it is time to talk wine with our Detroit's chief wine and restaurant critic, Chris Cook. Always good to have you with us, Chris, because you teach us good things. I always come away learning something after I've talked with you. Today, we get to ask you about a puzzling tradition that I still see happening in some restaurants. We order a bottle of wine. It is brought to the table, and with it, the cork. What are we supposed to do with that thing? Sniff it? Do what with it? Look at it? What are we supposed to do with it?
Well, I don't think a lot of people know what to do with it. And there's both a history to it and several different answers. First of all, I've never understood what it is we're supposed to do with a cork either in today's market. But what you see people do is they pick it up, they sniff it, which isn't going to tell you much at all. I mean, it's not going to tell you if there's anything bad that's happened in the bottle particularly. I've never known anybody to sniff the cork and say, oh, my God, this wine has a big problem or anything like that. The one thing that you may be able to tell a little bit is if the cork is not soft, it may tell you something. And what it might tell you is that the bottle that was served has been standing up a long time, and therefore there's been no moisture contact between the wine and the cork, and maybe drying out a little bit. So you want to just factor that into your thinking when you actually taste the wine.
Would you drink the bottle if it's dry? What does it mean?
It may mean nothing.
Hmm.
But what it could be wrong with the bottle is that air may have seeped in there and you've got sort of a degeneration of the wine is beginning to fall apart. So that's the main thing that you would be able to tell from that. The history behind it is sort of interesting, though, because this started in the 1800s because there had been a lot of fraud in wine in France. And what the winery started doing is they started marking all the corks with their name and then a date on the either the top round part of the cork or the bottom. Usually it's on the top. When the restaurant would pull the cork out of the bottle, they could tell that, yes, this is a cork from, you know, Chateau so-and-so and Saint-Emilion, which is what my client wants with his dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd put it in a little silver dish, bring it to the table, and present that dish so that the client could then pick up the cork and say, ah, yeah, it's verified. This is indeed the wine that I'm getting. Because the fraud at the time was they would copy labels of wineries, uh-huh, have them printed up, and just put corks in there and sell them as the original. We still have some of that problem going today on occasions.
Yeah.
So the cork then took on this kind of myth, this kind of snootiness that wound up in restaurant tradition. It's probably a good idea that you do see the cork, but, you know, generally you're going to see it anyway because most of the time they come to your table and uncork the wine there, and they'll just hand you the cork. But the ceremonial part doesn't really represent much today in terms of its purpose when it was started.
Mm-hmm.
And the silly little silver dish that they do in some restaurants, I can live without, frankly.
Also, I'm gathering if you see someone waving that cork under his nose and pronouncing the wine fine, we should assume this person is somewhat of a poser?
Well, yes. I mean, if they're looking for something like what's called TCA, which is actually cork taint, trichloral anisole is what TCA stands for, you're not going to find it by smelling the cork. You're going to find it by smelling the glass. That's the first point. You're going to smell that must. I've pulled corks out of bottles of wine suffering from volatile acidity or TCA and looked at that cork after I've tasted the wine and sniffed the cork. I can't tell anything in that cork that would have told me that that bottle had flaws in it that you would think would reside in the cork. That's the whole other subject. We call it cork taint, the trichloral anisole infection, but it really isn't simply from cork. It's from other things, too. So what you're going to get from sniffing the cork is absolutely minimal, in my view.
While we're talking corks, we really are seeing a move away in what is that synthetic cork that's being used when I'm pulling it out? It's a different feel. What is that stuff?
There's two things. There's the compound cork, where they grind up cork pieces and glue them together. There were initially problems when those came out, leaching some things from those kind of fabricated corks. But the newer ones are made from an oil base, I believe.
Huh.
And they're very good. The interesting thing is sometimes at some point people have pulled the cork out of those, poured the wine, and they smell cork taint, which would tell you that the cork didn't do it because this thing can't leach that TCA stuff.
Yeah.
And TCA can be picked up in the winery. It can be picked up outside the winery from the science that's been done, that it very often starts in the fields and on the grapes, and is brought in, and it's a very rampant thing. But the poor old cork took the hit for it.
There you go. Chris Cook, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Chris Cook is the chief wine and restaurant critic for Our Detroit magazine.